So today we're going to look at Psalm 39. And Psalm 39 is a psalm of David. It is written here, a psalm of David, to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun. Jeduthun is a music director, of which David wrote the psalm, and this psalm reflects David's turmoil in his life, David's challenges in his life, and he wrote the psalm. And he passed this entire psalm to Jeduthun, the chief musician, the choir master, the conductor, so that he can turn it into music. And what a sacred psalmody this would be. Who is King David? All of us would know, and it's good to revise. He is the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he wrote many psalms, and he played on the harp. It's wonderful. He is the king of Israel, the victor of Israel, and he led wars, and he won for Israel. And when he was younger, he killed Goliath. He killed Goliath, that giant. And God is the one that killed Goliath, granted victory to Israel through the shepherd of Israel, King David. King David, in his later years, and this psalm was written towards his later years. And what were the things that could trouble in his life? Some things that he did not tell us in the psalm. Something that he himself could not fully comprehend, could not fully understand, couldn't solve, and his heart was heavy. He was sad. It's something beyond him. It's something others might find difficult to fully empathize with King David, nor help him. Something that caused him to lose his joy. Something perplexing. It broke his heart. And as you know, he was also betrayed by his son, Absalom. Not to mention, but to be betrayed by others, betrayed by friends, betrayed by the one he loved. King David has all the why. Why? Why me, God? Did this happen to me? Why? It was burning inside him. It was warring inside him. It was bursting inside him. He was struggling to endure. He was struggling to live with it. Are you in a similar situation? Are you troubled with your own difficult situation? Do you have difficult relationships? Do you have broken relationships? Do you have uncertainties of your future? The uncertainties of your job? The uncertainties of your studies? The uncertainties of your career? The uncertainties of your marriage? And maybe even uncertainties of church. And even medical professionals, maybe, can't seem to help. You've tried, you've gone there, they've given all the advice, it doesn't seem to help. Or you're just not there because you are far away from home. Many of you are far away from home. And you could not be there with that person whom you love. And a lot of challenges in life and troubles and difficulties that you just could not be there. You're helpless. You're brokenhearted. You're very sad. You might even be angry. Something that even money cannot solve. Even your best friends or your spouse, your husband or your wife cannot solve. And you are crying inside. It's painful to you. And you feel so alone. So alone. God knows you. God knows you and your present situation. God knows. My dear brothers and sisters in Cornerstone Church, this psalm is for you. Psalm 39. Let us examine how the Holy Spirit would use the psalm to encourage us. It started off with King David said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And he went on to say that I was dumb with silence. I held my peace. Even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Friends, what did King David really say? When he said, I will take heed to my ways, he meant, I'm resolved. I am determined. I am determined that I will not tarnish the name of God. I am determined that I will not tarnish my testimony as a Christian. Why? Because I know my tongue, that if I were to open my tongue and to speak with words and to complain against God, or even to blame God, to blame others, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. So I said, I resolved, and I'm determined. That is what King David is doing here. Right from the start, even before he went on through the whole psalm, he said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. And why so? Because King David knows that out of the tongue will come evil. Out of the tongue, we will speak guile. King David knows himself, and we should also know ourselves. Because God's word also say, by the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That is us. And King David knows that. And therefore he said, I said, I'll take heed that I sin not with my tongue. And we also know that God's word said that be quick to hear, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, slow to anger. We can see that in one particular incident in God's word, and that is in Job. Let us refer to Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it was given the context whereby Job went through a lot of trouble in his life. God allowed it. God allowed the evil one to cause Job to suffer. Suffer so much that Job had illness, the boils, and his children died. Then what did his wife said? Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity, Job? Curse God and die. But what did Job say? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. David would remember that. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. And David was so careful that he said that I will keep my mouth with a bridle. What is that? Bridle is when you put onto a horse to keep the horse tame, because the wild horse will neigh and will kick. And it's impossible to use that wild horse for anything good. And the horse whisperer, the horse tamer, will take the bridle onto the horse's mouth and will be able to tame that horse that horse could even be settled on. You can sit on the horse. You can ride on the horse. And the horse could even work on the farm. So that is the picture. That is a picture that God, that David said that I will keep my mouth with a bridle. And all the more while the wicked is before me. And what does that mean? There are a lot of people around David who do not know the Lord God of Israel. His enemies will be looking at David and saying that, oh, David is going through a lot of trouble. Look, he can't solve it. Look, his God can't solve it for him. What is he talking about? Great God of Israel? And can you imagine that if David were to burst out with his tongue and to say all those things in his heart and to say that, God, why me? And maybe even to blame God. And David does not want to do that. Because David knows that in trials, it requires silence and patience. Because talk inflames anger. And anger inflames talk. And it goes around a vicious cycle. And to the extent that you'll not be able to control it, and your enemies, the wicked ones before David, would hear all those things and say that, who is your God? What is your God? And anger also distracts us from listening to God. David was very, very careful. So careful that he said, I said, I'm resolved. I'm determined. But when he was very, very determined, what happened to him? Verse 2, I was dumb with silence. Basically, David muted himself. Just like when we are on Zoom, we mute ourselves. Muted himself, Lord, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace. I just closed my mouth. To the extent, even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. It was such an emotion. It was a heartache. And so much so, a lot of things, a lot of emotions was inside David. And he knew that he should not open his mouth and to speak nonsense. He knew that. And to the extent that verse 3, my heart was hot within me. That emotion was building up. It could not take. He just could not take it. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, while I was meditating, while I was thinking of what I should say, the fire burned. It was about to explode. Are you also sometimes feeling that way? God, nobody seemed to understand me. Why am I going through all this? I know, God, that you meant it for good, but I cannot take it anymore, God. And if I were to say things that seem negative, the people around me will say that, who is your God? Where is your God? Then David, in verse 3, with that volcano almost erupting, then spake I with my tongue. David is going to speak. David is going to open his mouth and speak. And what did David speak? Verse 4. Did David curse God? Just like Job's wife said to Job, curse God and die. David said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. And behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. What is Selah? That David paused And David meditated. So look at verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end. David had such a close relationship with God, such a close relationship with God, that he said that, Lord, you make me to know mine end. What is that purpose of my life? I may be going through all these challenges in my life, all these troubles in my life. God, you know. But show me. It's me that I should know. Show me my end. Show me my purpose of my life. The brevity of life. The issues of my life. What I must do. And David, when asking God to say that, Lord, make me to know mine end, David has this sense that he knows God, and he knows that his own life is temporal. It's not forever in this land. And David comes with humility, with weakness, because he said that, what it is that I may know how frail I am. If there is anybody who can say that I am strong, that I am a victor, that I am that sweet psalmist of Israel, that I am positivity, that I am good, that I am great, David would be the person to be able to say that. But David said that I may know how frail I am, how weak I am. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, do not pride ourselves to be that strong person, but in humility come before the Lord, because when we acknowledge that we are weak, then are we strong in the Lord. Then we can see how God will move in our lives and move in our hearts to show God's glory through our lives, because we can't do it. We can't resolve it. We can't overcome that challenge. We can't overcome that trouble. We can't overcome that problem. It is so much in us. And just like David, what it is, Lord, what is your perspective? Show me God's perspective. Many a time, if we were to go to those kind of speeches, that rah, 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 and positivity, put on the glasses and put on the perspective that you can do it. You can do it. Positive thinking. You can do it. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, for Christians, God's perspectives is most important. And what it is for King David, that I may know how frail I am, that Lord, I need you. And if my problems were to be solved, it's not me, but it is you. God, Lord, make me to know mine end. Make me to know the purpose of my life. And make me to know why I am going through these trials and this difficulty in my life. And King David went on further to say, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. What is a handbreadth? This is a handbreadth. That is how short it is. This is a handbreadth. Is it very, very long? No, it's a handbreadth. And mine age is as nothing before thee. An infant can die. A teenager can die. An adult can die. A Merdeka generation guy can die. A pioneer generation guy can die. So what David is really writing this is that, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. Make me to know that I have an end in this earth and that there'll be eternity. And when I look at the situation on earth, that every man at his best state is altogether vanity. It's short-lived, like a vapor. And what is a vapor? You put a glass and you, that's vapor. And then very soon that vapor will be gone. It'll be gone. It is as short as the handbreadth, as short as the vapor. At the best state, every man is altogether vanity. And we know that God says, surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. We are vapor. So King David wants to understand himself. So you want to ask yourself, who am I? Yes, whatever trials and difficulties that I go through in life, it will end. It is not forever. And God is with me. And so King David here really comes with humility and asks God to show him how frail he is. And in verse 6, King David said, surely every man walketh in vain, in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. So the people of the world, the unbelievers, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Should Christians walk in a vain show? No, should not. And if we do, come back to the Lord and ask God for forgiveness. But surely every man walketh in a vain show. So that vain show, that purpose of life for people who do not know the Lord God Almighty, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, vain show, vapor. All that you do is vapor. And surely they are disquieted in vain. Disquieted means they vent, they struggle, they grab, they fight. They have sleepless night doing what they are doing. And what are they doing? Heapeth up riches, as if riches is the hope. Riches is the only solution. Riches is all in all. And knoweth not who shall gather them, because they will die. Have you heard of powerful men? And he died. Have you heard of rich people? And he died. Have you heard of famous people? And he died. And they will die. And knoweth not who shall gather them. Then what is the point of venting, struggling, grab, fighting with all those struggles, with all those anxiety? That should not be how a Christian or a believer in the Lord Jesus should go through. Surely every man walketh in vain. So here we can see that King David said, and now, Lord, and now, what wait I for? And now, Lord, here gives the sense that after all these considerations, after considerations of the people of the world and fighting and struggling and gathering and grabbing for riches and for fame. And now, Lord, what wait I for? To become like them? To become like them? And hope in riches? Hope in fame? Hope in long life? Do I crave? Do I clamor like them? And David knows that death would end it all. But David said, my hope is in thee. In whom? In God. My hope is in God. My hope is in the Creator God who created the heavens and the earth. If He can create the heavens and the earth, He created you and me. That our God knows us more than we know ourselves. And He knows the purpose of why we are even born into this earth. And He knows the purpose why you're going through the troubles. He knows why you are going through the challenges in your life. And He knows why you're going through the sleepless nights. And He knows why, for our Filipino friends, you are in Singapore. He knows. My hope is in thee. He is the sustainer. He's eternal. Therefore, I focus on God. He is the anchor amid the storm. So my hope is in thee. It is not focused on the hope per se, but focus on hope in thee, in God. And that God Almighty is our Heavenly Father. And so here we can see there is a portion of God's word in Psalm 42, verse 5. And I read to you. And in Psalm 42, 5, it is written in this psalm, "Why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down? So bowed down. O my soul, why art thou disquieted in me? Why that anxiety? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, for the help of his presence." If God is for us, who can be against us? And we know that our life is only brief. It's only like a vapor. But now, King David said that, "My hope is in thee. And for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance." John Piper mentioned that whenever faith in God looks to the future, it can be called hope. Hope is whenever faith in God looks to the future. Dearly beloved, do you know your future? Do you know the future of your job? Do you know the future of your career? Do you know the future of your problems in relationship? Do you know the future of your marriage? Do you know the future of your health? Do you know the future of your family, your loved ones? Do you know your own future? Faith in God looks to the future. That is hope. Hope in God. And then in verse 8, here King David says, "Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish." We have the clue now. What is the clue? Why is David going through all the turmoils in his life? Transgressions. Sins. And he said, "Deliver me from all my transgressions. I cannot hide from God." Cannot hide from God. Do you think that we can hide from God? We like to say that when you go through trouble, God is with you. When you go through the waters, it will not overflow you. When you go through the fire, it shall not kindle upon you, which you will not be burned. Do you know that when we sin, God also knows? Will God show that video that you sin, that I sin? Say, "God, please do not show that. I thought nobody knew it. God, how come you knew it? Deliver me from all my transgressions." Now, when Israel sinned against God and Israel remained unrepentant, and let's look at a portion from God's word, Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 13 to 15. And I'd like to read this to you. "Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me." Because God, Israel, has sinned. And so much so that Israel is made a reproach to our neighbors. God disciplines. So here King David is saying that, "Deliver me from all my transgressions." So dearly beloved, let us examine our own hearts also. And where are our sins? Which aspect have we sinned against the Lord? And if anybody will say that, "I sin not," I'm all right. You are a liar. God says you are a liar. So come with humility before the Lord. And verse 9, King David said, I was dumb, basically muted. I opened not my mouth. I was dumb and I opened not my mouth. Why? Very importantly, because thou didst it. Who is the one that allowed the anxiety and all the troubles and all the challenges to come into our life? God. It's the permissive will of God. God disciplines. God disciplines King David. God disciplines you and me, and God disciplines in love. And if God disciplines in love, there is no needless suffering. Why? Because the moment we understood why God sent and allow us to go through those difficulties in our life, then we say that, God, forgive me. And David said that, I can't argue against God. I can't argue against you because thou didst it. Like a father disciplining his son. Yes, earthly father may discipline a son and may even over-discipline, and some may call it child abuse. And the father really wanted to purify and make the son more matured. But when God did it, how does he do it? And let us turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verses 13 to 14. And later on also to verse 17. So we see here, Psalm 103, verse 13. How would God do it? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he understands us, for he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. And verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. So I'd like to draw you to verse 13 again. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Because thou didst it, how would our God discipline David? How would our God discipline us? Because thou didst it with pity. God does not gleefully clap hands, wonderful, I'm a sadist and I cause you to go through all the troubles. No. God pity us. God wants us to grow. Have you ever disciplined your own children, those who have children? Why do you discipline? Because you want your child to grow, to be more matured. That's why you discipline. And God did it. Because thou didst it, Lord, I was dumb and I opened not my mouth. I will not say anything against you, God. I admit it. And we have also read in our daily devotions, 2 Samuel 16, 10. 2 Samuel 16, 10. And the king said, is it there? Yes. What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Because King David say that God is disciplining him. Let the troubles come. Let the curses come. It was due to sin. There's someone who said that there are three persons inside us. There are three kinds of persons inside us. The one we think, we are. And the one other people think we are. But do you know what is most important? The one that God knows who we are. We cannot hide ourselves from God. And David was dumb and opened not his mouth because he knew. He knows that God did it. God allowed it. It's a permissive will of God. It may be even the punitive will of God in David so that David can grow as a child of God. And in verse 10, we read, "Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. Father, have mercy. Remove thy stroke." God, when you cane me, when you discipline me, I felt it. I felt it. And now I'm willing to repent. "Remove thy stroke away from me. I'm consumed by the blow of thine hand." I felt the pain. I felt the pain. So let us now turn to Romans chapter 5. It's in the New Testament. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. And let us see what is written in God's word. Why does God allow us to go through the tribulations? Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Tribulation produces perseverance. That's patience. And patience, experience. That's the character. And experience, that character which God is molding, will produce hope. "And hope maketh not ashamed." And hope does not disappoint. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God wants us to be more Christ-like. When we are going through challenges and difficulties in life, just as King David go through, remember this. God disciplines us that we might become more Christ-like. And what did that set David? That set David into weeping, that set David into praying, that set David into being weaned from the world, being taken away from the mindset of the world. And you know, for God to discipline us because of David's sin, or because of our sin, but there is one sin that is more severe, our sin against God for not believing in God as our Lord and Savior, for that the wages of sin is death. And what did God do? God did it. God disciplined, for the wages of sin is death. God disciplined, but God disciplined that in his own Son. For you and for me. So that when that whack, when that punishment, when that penalty comes, it did not come on us. It came on our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, just reading from verses 6 to 7. "All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way." We should be the one to get the punishment. And that punishment, the wages of sin, is death. Physical and spiritual death forever and ever and ever in hell fire. "But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, who took that sin upon us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Our Lord Jesus Christ has done that. David, I was dumb and I opened not my mouth. God, when you punish me, it's right. Lord, I need you. And I want to repent because you know me well. And all these, you did it. Thou didst it. And thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ took upon that most severe penalty of punishment upon himself in our stead for us, that we don't have to go through that. Just by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have salvation in the Lord Jesus. And in verse 11, King David said, when thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. It's like vapor, Selah. So David come to another portion of the psalm that he said that, let us meditate, let us think. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, God's punitive will. God discipline us. And thou makest his beauty to consume away like moth, his pride is gone. What is there to talk about? I am great, I am wonderful, I am famous, I am rich. What is this? Thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. We know, therefore, the purpose of our life. We know, therefore, the end of our life. Because when we die, surely every man is vanity. It's like vapor. So we need to have that perspective of God. Then in verse 12. Verse 12, David said, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. King David came to this point in his prayer, in his speaking with God. He said that, hear my prayer. And there's a progression. Not only hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear unto my cry. And not only that, hold not thy peace at my tears. So let us see. When David says that, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear unto my cry. What do we see in Bible characters? Moses, when he led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and when they came before the Red Sea, and they cry out unto the Lord, give ear unto my cry. Hear my prayer, O Lord. What did God do? Parted the Red Sea. That was impossible for man and has never been done before. And that's a miracle from God. Do you have a Red Sea in your own life? There was another person who said, God, hear my prayer. Give ear unto my cry. And hold not thy peace at my tears. Hagar. And who is Hagar? Abraham's other wife. And she was tortured by Sarah because she had a son, Ishmael. And she went out to the wilderness and she cried before the Lord. And God said, I see. I know, Hagar. I will bless you. Another person who cried, this person could not have children. Do you know how difficult it is for Hannah? She just could not have children. And she was ridiculed. And she herself wanted to have that desire to have children and so that she can give that child unto the Lord. And she cried. She cried unto the Lord. And David cried. And therefore, It is okay to cry with tears. God has made us with emotions. It is all right to cry with tears. And David cried, "Hold not thy peace at my tears." Because David had such a turmoil in his life. And he said that, "I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner," that's just a pilgrim, "as all my fathers were." David said, "I am a stranger with thee, O God, O Lord." David did not say, "I am a stranger to thee." David did not say, "I'm a stranger from thee." David said, "I am a stranger with thee." Why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ came to his own and he was rejected of his own. If our master is a stranger, who are we? We are like a stranger, we identify with our Lord. Heaven is our homeland. What is this mindset of a stranger? "I'm a stranger with thee." Maybe some of you know what it means to be a stranger. You come from another country. Well, I was from Malaysia. Some of you were not from Singapore. And when you're a stranger in that country, first of all, you don't feel 100% belong. And you don't feel 100% valued. You felt inconveniences because there are so many things that a local citizen could do, but you can't. And a local citizen could enjoy, but you can't. And it drives you to being patient because you come to that land as a stranger. You're also very careful because as a stranger, there are many rules and regulations of that land for that citizen, which is not meant for you. And you must be careful because if not, you might flout the law. And as a stranger, there's a mindset of being very thankful for the least favor that is being given by the people of that land. And travel light, homesickness, wanting to know more about the home news, and always wanting to prepare to go home. Where is our final home? Heaven. We are like strangers in this world. And that's why David said that, "For I am a stranger with thee," identifying with the Lord. And Charles Spurgeon said, "If an Englishman goes to the continent, goes to Europe, and tries to pass himself off as a German or a Frenchman, he is soon detected." I mean, they may look alike, but it's soon detected. "And in a similar fashion, a true Christian reveals the fact that he is a stranger in this world. His ways and manners and customs are not those of the men of the world who have their portion in this life." And that's what we should be. We should be strangers in this world. The mindset of God's perspective, that's what we should be. And "hold not thy peace at my tears." Have you ever gone through a situation whereby you cried? And maybe it's about your job. Maybe it's about your bosses. Maybe it's about your studies. Maybe it's about your family issues. Maybe it's about your relationship. Maybe it's about your marriage. Maybe it's about your mental health. Maybe it's because your loved ones are suffering and you can't seem to be able to help. God, you see my suffering. You see my tears. You see my life. And God will help. And here, lastly, verse 13, the conclusion. "Oh, spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more." Spare me. that I may recover strength. Remove your gaze from me. Don't look at me with that fierce, punishing, disciplining face, Lord, that I may recover my strength. Lips of a backslider, so that I can forsake my sin and have the strength to praise God in a holier life, and I can be a blessing to others. But, dearly beloved, take heart. God is love. We love Him because He first loved us. God is love. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength. I shall turn you to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. A very, very, very familiar verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What is this, make a way to escape? In the early Greek usage, this term had the sense of a landing place for a ship. The idea is thus not that He will enable us to escape temptation, but that He will enable us to land intact and safely on the other side. Oh, spare me that I may recover my strength. And God is love. He did all this because He loved us. And we shall have this verse, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. I would like, is it there? Yes. I would like all of us to read this together. Ready, go. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise and thank God that the God of hope will fill us with joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We can have hope in God because He loves us. And let us look at Romans 8:28. This verse, all of us may be able to recite it from memory even. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. King David said that, God, Thou didst it. And because Thou didst it, You did it, Lord. You allowed this to happen in my life. I have hope in God. Even at that moment in verse 13, David's trouble at that moment was still unresolved. But he has that hope in God, knowing that God makes no mistakes and God will do it well. And in Romans 8:28. So James Montgomery Boyce wrote, he learns that since life is short, the only real meaning of a man or a woman's existence must be in his relationship to God, for God is eternal. So at the end of the day, our final destination, heaven is our permanent home. We are just passing through. And let us conclude with three lessons. We have learned many, many lessons, but let us summarize it. And the first one, when you are very troubled, speak with the Lord first. When you are very troubled, speak with the Lord first. Will you do that? Second, let God's word show you God's perspectives of your troubles and of your life. Third, hope in the Lord. Why? Because He loves you. And because the Lord loves us, He allows the challenges of life to be experienced by us, to be experienced by David. Because at the end of the day, we can rejoice in the Lord. And Job 23:10 says, and this is a verse that we know pretty well, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And we like to sing the song. We rejoice in the Lord because we have hope in God. Who wrote this, "Rejoice in the Lord"? Ron Hamilton. He had cancer of the eye taken away. His son had mental health struggle. Jonathan died. Now Ron Hamilton had dementia. Severe stage 7, which is near the end. Yet he sings, "We rejoice in the Lord," because we have hope in God, and that's why we can rejoice in the Lord. So brothers and sisters, just as David has gone through this, when you go through challenges in your life, know that God loves you. God cares for you. You can have the hope in Him. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, You know each one of us. Some of us come with a heavy heart. Some of us come with questions in our lives that we don't seem to have the answer. And when we look up to Thee, Thy word has instructed us, hope in Thee. We want to hope in Thee, Lord. And by hoping in Thee, we know that You love us and we can rejoice in it. But Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. And help us to repent of our sins and help us to walk in Thy path of righteousness. May Thy Holy Spirit move in our hearts, search our hearts, that we know God's perspectives of life in us. So Lord, we commit ourselves to Thee. Teach us Thy way. We give Thee praise and thanks through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. Amen.